بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله شهادة تكون للنجاة وسيلة ولرفع الدرجات كفيلة، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي بعثه، وطرق الإيمان قد عفت آثارها وخبت أنوارها ووهنت أركانها وجهل مكانها، فشيد صلوات الله عليه وسلامه من معالمها ما عفا وشفى من العليل في تأييد كلمة التوحيد من كان على شفا، وأوضح سبيل الهداية لمن أراد أن يسلكها، وأظهر كنوز السعادة لمن قصد أن يملكها. أما بعد، فبسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. وعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لامرئ ما نوى، فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. متفق عليه. وبسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى وحشرنا في زمرته ومحبه قال: باب قول الله: ونذو الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس والعدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبه قال: حدثنا أحمد بن أشكاب قال: حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان، سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى through his infinite mercy afforded us this unique opportunity to take part in a gathering wherein the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is being completed. Those people who engage in learning and teaching the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are very fortunate people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has supplicated for such people. supplicating, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, Nadharallahu imra'an sami'a maqalati. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep that person happy. May his life continue to blossom in this world, and may he blossom also in the hereafter from all aspects. Nadharallahu imran, may that person remain happy. May that person continue to blossom in both worlds. Who has heard my word? Man nadharallahu imran sami'a maqalati. Fahafizaha. And thereafter he has memorized it. وَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِئَهَا. And thereafter, he has transferred my word, my hadith to others in the same manner that he had heard it from his teachers. So with full attention he had heard my hadith, and thereafter meticulously making sure that he does not make an error in transmitting the hadith, he has transmitted the hadith to his students. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is so happy with such individuals that he is making dua for such individuals. That may such individuals who learn the ahadith and who teach the ahadith remain happy in this world and also in the hereafter. And why should not Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam pray for such individuals when they are the ones who are safeguarding the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? And safeguarding the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in actual fact is safeguarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the fundamental source of knowledge is the glorious Quran. And the commentary of the glorious Quran is the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Without the aid of the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it is impossible to understand the Quran. So Quran and Sunnah go hand in hand. So in order to understand the Quran, a person has to understand the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the light of the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, a person will be able to understand the Quran, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason, one of the aghraz, one of the objectives mentioned right at the beginning of the year by our teachers in regard to learning the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What are the benefits of learning the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? What are the objectives? What is the purpose? Why do we toil and learn the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam day and night? There are many reasons, there are many objectives, there are many benefits, there are many aghraz. One benefit is One purpose is, one objective is, so that we are able to understand the glorious Quran. So because the source of ilm, the prime source of ilm, the fundamental source of ilm is the glorious Quran. And Quran cannot be understood without the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And if Quran is not understood, then a person will not be able to carry out the do's and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is unable to carry out the do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will neither become successful in this world nor the hereafter. It is for this reason, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has encouraged those people through his supplication who engage day and night in preserving the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And ulama, muhaddithin, throughout centuries, have meticulously preserved the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was born in the latter part of the second century Hijri. He was born in the year 194 Hijri. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself chooses people for the preservation of the Quran and preservation of the ahadith. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala was also one of these chosen souls. He was muwaffaq min Allah. Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullahu ta'ala, the scribe of Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very close student of Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that I myself heard Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi say, ulhimtu hibzal hadith wa ana fil maktab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me to memorize the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst I was still in maktab. Maktab, evening madrasa. Maktab, a child takes admission in a maktab at the age of 4 or 5, and the child will continue in the maktab up to the age of 13, 14, 15. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says, ulhim to hibzal hadith. I was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to memorize a hadith. Wa ana fil maktab, whilst I was still in the maktab. Now in the maktab at the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, a person may not even know a hadith. What is the difference between the Quran or the hadith? But Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullahu ta'ala says that someone asked him in that gathering that when you were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to memorize the ahadith whilst in the maktab, how old were you? So he said, I was around 9 or 10. I was 9 or 10. So at the age of 9 or at the age of 10, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is being inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to memorize the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the inspiration was so strong and clear that Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala actually embarked on this journey of memorizing the ahadith. And he began attending the majalis of the muhaddithin in Bukhara and around Bukhara. And within 6 to 7 years, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala memorized all the ahadith that the muhaddithin had acquired in Bukhara and around Bukhara. And at the age of 16, with his mother and his older brother Ahmad, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala left Bukhara to perform Hajj. And after completing the obligation of Hajj, he said to his mother and his older brother, Ahmed, that both of you may return to Bukhara. I will stay in Makkah Mukarrama and I will go to the Muhaddiseen of Makkah Mukarrama and learn the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at the beginning of the 3rd century Hijri, at the age of 16 only, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is separating from his family. And he decided to remain behind in Makkah Mukarrama to acquire ahadith from the shuyukh in Makkah Mukarrama. And he spent 2 years in Makkah Mukarrama. And in 2 years, he did not leave any stone unturned. And he acquired the ahadith from the shuyukh of Makkah Mukarrama. And thereafter, at the age of 18, he traveled to Medina Munawwara. And he acquired ahadith from the shuyukh of Medina Munawwara. And thereafter, he went to Baghdad, he went to Kufa, he went to Naisabur. He did not leave a single city or single village regarding which he learned that there is a muhaddith there and he did not go. Allama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala visited 1,080 muhaddithin. In this day and age when it is very easy to travel from one place to another, ask any alim, how many shuyukh do you have in hadith? A person will say, I have 8 shuyukh. Someone will say, I have 5 shuyukh. Someone will say, I have 10 shuyukh. And if a person says, I have 15 or 20 or 25 or 30 or 40, it will be ijazah only. Ijazah. I have taken ijazah from this sheikh, ijazah from this sheikh, ijazah from this sheikh, not sima. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala visited 1,080 muhaddiseen and he remained in their company for a considerable time and he went through the process of sima, listening to the hadith directly from them. 1,080 muhaddiseen. And he acquired hundreds of thousands of ahadith, 600,000 ahadith. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala memorized 600,000 ahadith. And from those 600,000 ahadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala chose approximately 7,000 ahadith for his Sahihul Bukhari. 7,397 to be precise. 7,397 ahadith he chose from 600,000 ahadith for his Bukhari Sharif, which according to him were the most authentic. So I was saying, friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people for this great work. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was a chosen personality. We in this day and age, I say to my fellow colleagues who teach ahadith or fellow students who are learning ahadith, I say to them that we are not worthy of teaching or learning ahadith. Our lives are filthy with sins. We are continually ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his favors, material or spiritual, dunyavi or dini. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq, the opportunity to enroll in a madrasa and start learning from scratch. Nahu, sarf, and we are given the tawfiq to continue for 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, until we finally reach the final year where we study Sahihul Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi from among thousands of ulama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants certain individuals only the opportunity to teach Bukhari Sharif. And sometimes, those who are of a high caliber as far as Arabic is concerned, as far as the understanding of Hadith is concerned, they are not given the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are of a lesser degree are granted the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I urge myself and all my fellow mu'allimeen and muta'allimeen to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great favor by repenting sincerely and making sure that we try our utmost to continue understanding this message and trying our utmost to follow whatever we understand. We should continually turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make istighfar, make tawbah. And where we see shortcomings in our lives, we secretly talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, "Oh Allah, I know this is wrong. I know this is haram. I know this is not permissible. I know this is more better and more virtuous. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq." Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. One is Mufti Mahmood Hassan Gangohi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. And the other is Mufti Mahmood of Pakistan, Mufti Mahmood, who was at one time the chief minister also. A great alim, alim of a very high caliber. When he was teaching Bukhari Sharif, somebody asked him, "Hazrat, have you seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in your dream?" In reply, he said that if a person who teaches Bukhari Sharif does not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, then what type of teacher is he? If a teacher of Bukhari Sharif, if a teacher of Hadith is not given the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, what type of a teacher of Hadith is he? That he does not have that connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a couplet in the Urdu language, "Be ishke Muhammad jo padta hai Bukhari." The one who reads Bukhari, the one who learns Bukhari, the one who teaches Bukhari without love for his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will have Bukhar but not Bukhari. He will have Bukhar, he will have fever, but he will not be able to learn Bukhari. Jo beishq-e Muhammad padhta hai Bukhari, aata hai Bukhar usko, nahi aati Bukhari. The one who will learn, who will read, who will teach Bukhari without ishq of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will experience fever when he is studying or when he is teaching. He will feel bored. His eyes will be on the watch or on the clock. Still 15 minutes to go, still half an hour to go, still 100 more pages to go. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was asked by somebody that you spend so much time in seclusion. Do you not feel bored? Do you not get tired? Do you not get bored on your own? You are spending time. So he said that how can I get bored when I am spending time with my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions? When I am studying the hadith, then I am with my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am in the world of imagination. When I am studying the hadith, I am there in Medina Munawwara, I am in Makkah Mukarrama, I am on the ground of Badr, I am on the ground of Uhud, I am in Hudaybiyah, I am performing tawaf with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am in Sahih with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am in his company. So my friends, there is a large number of ulama and talaba here in this gathering today. Let us appreciate this great ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I sometimes think about myself that I was born in Bhoria, a very, very small village. Small village. Those people who come from the area I live in, majority of them don't know where Bhoria is. Those people who come from India, from my part of India, in Gujarat, majority of them, when they say, where is Bhoria? When they meet, where is Bhoria? They came to know of Bhoria because of me. Born in a very poor family. My father could not afford to buy us siblings a pair of slippers. He would only buy rubber slippers at the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. And once Eid al-Fitr was out of the way, after Maghrib, my mother would take those slippers away from us, she would wash it, and she would put it away for Eid al-Adha. And after Eid al-Adha, we were free to use those slippers for as long as they would last. And once they wear out, nothing until the Eid of Ramadan again. Poor family, backward village, no education, nothing. We need to contemplate on our background. Was our background such that we were to study ahadith and we were to teach ahadith? This is sheer grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all of us. And the shukr towards this sheer grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we accept our shortcomings and we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, despite our being undeserving, you have granted us such a great favor. Oh Allah, I ask you for forgiveness for all my shortcomings, and I repent and I make a firm resolution that from today, inshallah, I will live a very good life. And oh Allah, you help me, you help me. You help me to become like Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. You help me to become like Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala. You help me to become like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. You help me to become like Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala. You help me to become like Shah Waliullah Sam Muhaddis Dehlavi rahmatullahi alayhi. Let us have within our hearts this zeal, this desire to become like them. Don't give up. Don't give up and say, no, I cannot reach those heights. No. Allah can make us reach those heights if we are sincere in asking from Him, and thereafter if we sincerely strive. Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ بِكَثْرَةِ الرِّوَايَةِ وَإِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ الْخَشِيَّةُ. Ilm is not kasratu riwayat. 7,397 hadith, and if you count all the 8 books that are taught in the final year, including Muwatta Imam Malik and Muwatta Imam Muhammad, then a student studies 40,000 ahadith approximately in the final year. 40,000 ahadith, Allahu Akbar. Imagine the virtue of ulama, just going through 40,000 ahadith in a year, Allahu Akbar. Imagine the number of times the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is mentioned during the transmission of these 40,000 ahadith. The number of times the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, and the number of times the ustad and the teachers will say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ibn Hibban rahimahullah ta'ala narrates a hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna awlan nasibi yawm al-qiyamati aksaruhum alayya salatan." From amongst the people, those most near to me on the day of Qiyamah will be those people who will send the most salutation upon me. Allama Ibn Hibban rahimahullah ta'ala
after quoting this hadith, says that there is great virtue in this hadith for mushtagilina bil hadith. There is great virtue in this hadith for those people who engage in studying the hadith, learning the hadith and teaching the hadith. Because no one will be able to compete with them in reciting Durud-e Pak. A teacher preparing his dars of Bukhari Sharif will study Bukhari Sharif for 1 hour, 1.5 hours. The number of times he will say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unimaginable. Then he will come to the class. The number of times he will say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the students will say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no place where Durud-e-Pak is recited more than the Darul Ulooms. No place where Durud-e-Pak is recited more than in Darul Ulooms. Because lesson of Mishkat is taking place, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jalal and Sharif tafsir is taking place, and the first tafsir and the prime tafsir of the Quran is the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in tafsir also the teacher will continually say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. You go into fiqh, the teacher will say, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says this, and Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says this, and Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says this, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi says this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says this because of this hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says this because of this hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Any class you go into, you will hear nothing but sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Great ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we value it, it is for this reason, Ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu says, Laysa al-ilmu bi kasrati riwayat. Ilm is not kasrati riwayat. A student may be the best of the students, and he may know the whole Bukhari Sharif by heart, Muslim Sharif by heart, but his life is void of amal. That means his heart is void of khashiyya, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ilm is not beneficial. If there is khashiyya, then ilm is beneficial. If there is no khashiyya, then ilm is not beneficial. And it is beneficial ilm that we are in search of, not that ilm which is not beneficial. That ilm which is not beneficial will land us in the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. And that ilm which is beneficial will grant us entry into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. It is for this reason our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to supplicate, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh Allah, I ask from you that ilm which is beneficial. And which ilm is beneficial? Beneficial ilm is that beneficial which is practiced upon. And oh Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. I seek refuge in you from that ilm which is not beneficial. That means that ilm, ilme nafi is also ilme nubuwat, and ilme ghair nafi is also ilme nubuwat. We are talking about the same ilm. The ilm of Quran and ilme hadith can be nafi, and it can be ghair nafi also. If it is practiced upon, it is nafi, and if it is not practiced upon, it is ghair nafi. And if ilm is ghair nafi, Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that inna sharran nasi, إِنَّ الشَّرَّ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَالِمًا لَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِعِلْمِهِ. From amongst people, the worst person on the day of Qiyamah will be that alim who does not benefit from his ilm. And for ilm, khashiyah is necessary. And for khashiyah, tazkiyah is necessary. If there is khashiyya, a person will be able to practice upon the riwayah that he has acquired. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala says that I have never passed a hadith which I did not practice throughout my life. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was also a great muhaddis, and all muhaddisin memorized with the chain of narrations hundreds of thousands of hadiths. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi says that I have never come across a hadith which I have not practiced upon. Every hadith he practiced. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala says that I have never come across a hadith which I have not practiced upon. Abu Usman Hiri rahimahullah ta'ala, a very pious personality and academic personality, one day he came for Isha Salat in the state of Ihram. In the state of Ihram means apparently, outwardly he looked as if he was in Ihram. Normally he would wear a jubba, a long kameez, and izar or shalwar. But that day he came with a lungi. He came with a sheet tied at the bottom and a sheet on the top of his body. So the son of his ustad, there was a muhaddis in that locality, his son performed salat behind Abu Usman Hiri rahmatullahi alayhi. And on that day, the ustad performed salat elsewhere in another masjid. When the son returned home, he said to his father that Abu Usman qad ahrama. Abu Usman has put on his ihram. He's going for Umrah, it seems, or Hajj. So his father said, no, he is neither going for Hajj nor Umrah. I know, because he is my student. So the son said, but I have seen him in the state of ihram. I have seen him in two sheets today. I have just performed salat behind him. So he said, no, I will explain to you why you saw him in this clothing. He said that it is his habit that whenever he comes across a hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would immediately act upon that hadith. And he said that he is studying a book of hadith from me, and today we came across a hadith wherein the sahabi says that Sallabina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in salat fi izarin wa rida'in, in lungi and a sheet. He said, today he has learned hadith from me. He is my student. He comes to me daily, and today we came across a hadith wherein the sahabi says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in salat as the imam, and he was wearing one izar, one lungi. Izar in Arabic is lungi, just a sheet tied, and rida'in, and one sheet. So he said that because of his habit of practicing on every hadith that he reads, today in Isha Salat he came in as the imam, just like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he emulated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us continue to study a hadith. You are not graduating today. Normally in Urdu we say, today we are farig. No, I tell the students at the Islamic Dawa Academy that we became farig the day we took admission at the Islamic Dawa Academy. That means we became farig from everything other than deen. And now this effort of learning, practicing and teaching will continue until we breathe our last. We are not becoming farig today. We became farig the day we took enrollment at the academy in Coventry. That is when we became farig. Now inshallah, this learning and teaching, learning and teaching, learning, practicing and teaching, learning, practicing and teaching will continue until we breathe our last. Make a firm resolution, my very dear students. If you do this, then you will benefit yourselves, you will benefit your parents, you will benefit your families, you will benefit your teachers also. Our teachers, they feel very humble. Our teachers, they feel very humble. One who is big always feels small. They don't feel proud. They don't feel that, oh, because I'm teacher of Bukhari, I will definitely go in Jannah and I will intercede for my students also. No. You know with what intention your teachers teach you? Your elders, you know what? How they feel inside? They feel inside that I have done nothing in my life. And I am becoming instrumental in this young man becoming an alim, this young lady becoming an alima, and inshallah, if he becomes alime Rabbani, if she becomes an alime Rabbaniya, and if they live their lives according to what I am teaching them, they will acquire salvation in the hereafter. And because I am becoming instrumental, inshallah, they will intercede for me on the day of Qiyamah. These are the hopes that your teachers have regarding you. And these are the hopes your parents have regarding you. And in order to fulfill these good hopes that our elders have for us, we have to strive. We have to work hard. So Ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala says, Laysal ilmu bi kasratir riwayah. Kasratur riwayah is not ilm. Wa innamal ilmu al khashiyyatu. In reality, ilm is al khashiyyah. Ilm is al. Why? Because with khashiyyah, a person will practice upon the ilm he has acquired, so the ilm will become ilm nafe. And without khashiyyah, a person will not be able to practice upon his ilm, so his ilm will become ghair nafe. And ghair nafe is not ilm. Because that ilm that leads you to Jahannam, how can it be called ilm? Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Sufyan Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala. Sufyan Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala. He used to say that laysa al-ilmu haddasana fulanun an fulanin. Laysa talabul ilmi haddasana fulanun an fulanin. He said that this is not ilm. That haddasana fulanun an fulanin an fulanin an fulanin an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala innama al-amalu bin niyyat. So what is ilm? He said, "Wa innama talabul ilmi al khashiyyatu lillah." Ilm is khashiyyah lillah. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, "Laysa al-alimu alladhi ya'rifu al-khayra wa-shar." That person in reality is not an alim who knows the difference between khair and shar. Who can differentiate between khair and shar? Who can differentiate between halal and haram? Who can differentiate between jais and not jais? Who can differentiate between permissible and impermissible? That person is not an alim in its true sense. So who is an alim? Wa innama al-alimu alladhi ya'rifu al-khayra fayattabi'uhu wa ya'rifu ash-sharra fayajtanibuhu. Alim in its true sense is that person who understands khair, who acquires the ilm of khair and he follows khair, and who understands shar and who abstains from shar. And my friends, my sons and my daughters, the more we practice, the more we will be able to remember our ilm. Imam Waqi rahimahullah ta'ala said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَحْفَظَ الْحَدِيثَ فَعْمَلْ بِهِ. If you desire to keep the hadith to memory, then practice. Practice. When we practice, then we know the ilm. If we don't practice, we will forget the ilm. If in Maktab we were taught that it is sunnah to put your right foot in the masjid, thereafter it is sunnah to say Bismillah, thereafter it is sunnah to say Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Rasulillah, thereafter it is sunnah to say Allahumma kfirli dhunubi waftahli abuaba rahmati. So you have one student who doesn't practice, you have the other student who practices. At the age of 30, ask both of them that what are the sunnats of entering a masjid. The one who does not practice will not know, and the one who practices, he will look at his practice and he will say, when I enter the masjid, I say Bismillah first, and then I say this, and then I say this. So he will immediately tell you, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَحْفَظَ الْحَدِيثِ. If you desire to keep hadith and ilm to memory, fa'amal bihi, then practice upon it. Ibrahim ibn Ismail, rahimahullah ta'ala, another muhaddith says, kunna nasta'inu ala hifzil hadith bil amali bihi. By practicing, we would memorize the ahadith. We would remember the ahadith by practicing. And my friends, if we, due to our weakness, are unable to practice like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala and Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala and Abu Usman Hiri rahimahullah ta'ala upon every hadith, then at least we should give zakat of hadith. Bishr al-Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, Ya ahl al-hadith, addu zakat al-hadith. He used to say that, oh, the teachers and the students of hadith, give zakat of hadith. When we give zakat of gold, how do we give zakat? From 200 grams, 5 grams. From 200 grams silver, 5 grams. From 200 pounds, 5 pounds. From $200, $5. So Bishr al-Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that addu zakat al-hadith. At least give the zakat of hadith. How? I'malu min kulli mi'atay hadithin bi khamsati ahadith. From 200 ahadith, at least practice upon 5 hadith. 5 hadith. And when a person regularly gives zakah, when a person gives regularly zakah every year, meticulously he gives zakah, he is very careful in giving zakah, two things happen. Number one, Allah grants him barakah in his wealth. And number two, Allah gives him the tawfiq to spend lillah also. So compulsory is only 5%. But Allah gives him barakah in his wealth. And Allah gives, because of barakah in wealth, Allah gives him the tawfiq to give lillah also. So if we follow this statement of Bishr al-Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala, and practice upon 5 ahadith from 200, we will give zakah of hadith. And the result will be Allah will increase our knowledge. And when Allah will increase our knowledge, He will give us the tawfiq to practice more. So it's a great opportunity. Teaching, learning. That is where I had left you. Teaching, learning. And then I moved away slightly by saying that if it is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us be grateful by sincerely repenting and making a firm resolution that we will continue to study the Quran, study the ahadith, study the seerah, study the fiqh, and we will continue to practice as much as we can, and we will continue to serve the ummah as much as we can in writing, through lectures, through teaching, until we breathe our last. Great opportunity. Allah chooses people for ahadith. Allah chooses people for Quran. The ulum of the Quran, the ulum of the ahadith. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the leader of the ulama. He is the Sayyidul Ulama. He is the Sayyidul Muhaddisin. He is the Sayyidul Mufassirin. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that one day I saw the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. And he said that during that time, a great muhaddis who was Sayyidu Ahlil Hadith, Sayyidul Muhaddisin, like Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith in his time, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala was Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith in his time, Imam Shu'bah rahimahullah ta'ala was Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith in his time. So Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala, he was the Sayyidul Muhaddisin in his time, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith in his time. He was passing through a period of ill health. And everybody was concerned about him. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullah ta'ala says that during that period I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in my dream. And he was accompanied by various sahaba-i-kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and I understood in the dream that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is going to visit Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullahu ta'ala because he is unwell. Those engaged in learning and teaching the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam are granted special attention by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not an insignificant amal, my friends. Majority of the people tend to think that, oh, it's a madrasa. It's a madrasa and these are senior students and in the maktab are junior students. They are studying alif ba ta sa and they are studying haddasana, haddasana, haddasana. Even the work that the junior students are doing is very significant also. Those people who are teaching alif ba ta sa, they are very significant people. In my final year, on the last day, when my beloved teacher, mine and Maulana Muhammad Sahib's beloved teacher of Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, gave us final advices. One of the things he said was that now you are becoming ulama, you are graduating as ulama. Make sure that until the last day you continue teaching. And if you do not get the opportunity to teach in a darloom, then teach in a maktab. And in a maktab, if you do not get the opportunity of teaching anything besides alif batasa, then continue teaching alif batasa. And thereafter he said that no part of ilm is insignificant. And thereafter he said that I am teaching you Bukhari Sharif. Or I have taught you Bukhari Sharif. He said, I have acquired only the reward of teaching Bukhari Sharif. Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, I have taught you Bukhari Sharif. I have acquired the reward of only teaching Bukhari Sharif. But the teacher who taught you Alif Ba Tasa when you were young, because he is instrumental in everything that comes after Alif Ba Tasa. He said, Allah will grant him reward for everything you have studied from Alif Ba Tasa until Bukhari Sharif. Because if he had not taught you Alif Ba Tasa, you would not have been able to study Bukhari Sharif today. My friends, have love for ilm. And love for ilm means not ilm is not something that you can separate from madrasa. That I have love for ilm but not madrasa. No. Ilm is not something that you can separate from the huffaz and the ulama and the muftis. That I love ilm, not the muftis. I love ilm, not the ulama. I love ilm, not the talaba. I love ilm, not the madrasa. If someone loves me, he will love my family as well. If someone loves me, he will love my car as well. If somebody is damaging my car, it will hurt him. When we have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so anything associated to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beloved to us. Madina Munawwara is beloved, why? Makkah Mukarrama is beloved, why? Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu anhu is beloved, why? When I say love ilm means that excel in love for ilm to that degree that you love everything associated to ilm. You love durus of the Quran, you love durus of the hadith in the masjid, you love ulama, you love talaba. When you see young children going to the maktab, it makes you happy. Any ilmi dini institute will make you happy. Any dini ilmi activity should make you happy. Love ilm. Teaching and learning. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. And some people are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that after completing their maktab ta'aleem, they go on to studying the sciences of deen, the sciences of hadith and the Quran with more depth. and they become ulama. And thereafter some excel and they engage in teaching ahadith and Quran. They become muftis. And they research, and after researching they guide the ummah. Rever them for the ilm that Allah has given them. As I said, those people who engage in learning and teaching the ahadith, they are granted the attention of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me quote another incident. Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his student days, he went to study ahadith from the great muhaddith Abu Abdullah al-Farawi, Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala enrolled Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala in his class, and he began teaching him. Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala was also very zealous. He also was looking for good students to teach. And here he had found a very good student, Ibn Asakir, who became Hafiz of Hadith, Hafiz Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala, later on in his life. Somebody saw him after his departure, after his passing away, Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he was leading the malaika in salat. He was performing salat and the malaika were stood in the rows behind him. So the person who saw him in the dream said that, how did you acquire this fazilah, this virtue? So he said that with my hands I wrote 1,000,000 ahadiths. With my hands I wrote 1,000,000 ahadiths. And every time I wrote the hadith, wherever the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, I said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me this virtue. This Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala, in his childhood, as I said that people are chosen right from childhood. In his childhood, when he went to Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he was so zealous, he had so much zeal, that a muhaddis like Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala became tired of him after 3 days. He said, after 3 days I got tired of him, that he's always coming to me and saying, teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me. And these were those people who would rest very little. Despite that, he said, I got tired. And he said that I made a firm resolution that tomorrow, if he knocks at the door, I will not open the door. I will not open the door for him. I will not teach him from tomorrow. He said, somebody knocked at the door in the morning. I looked out of the window. It was not Ibn Asakir. It was somebody else. So I opened the door. When I opened the door, the person who came said, Assalamu alaikum. I said, Wa alaikum assalam. And he said, Inni rasulu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ilayka. I have come with a message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in my dream last night and he instructed me to come to you and give you this message. Sincere student of hadith, Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his teens, and look at the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs a person that go to Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala and give him this message. What was the message? قَدِمَ بَلَدَكَ رَجُلٌ شَامِيٌ أَسْمَرُ اللَّوْنِ. A person has come to you. A person has come to your locality. He is from Sham. قَدِمَ بَلَدَكَ رَجُلٌ شَامِيٌ أَسْمَرُ اللَّوْنِ. He is brown in complexion. يَتْلُبُ حَدِيثِ. He has come only to acquire my hadith. فَلَا تَمَلَّانُهُ. So when he comes to you, don't turn your face away from him. I sometimes wonder the level of ikhlas and the level of love that Ibn Asakir must have had for the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala broke his resolve that he had made last night. And when Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala came to study, He began teaching him, and he did not say to him that enough for today. No. As far as the other students were concerned, he would say, today enough, come tomorrow. Enough now, come after Asr. But Ibn Asakir, he would not say a word. The narrator of this incident says, مَا كَانَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ يَقُومُ مِن مَجْلِسِهِ حَتَّى يَقُومَ الْحَافِظِ. Abu Abdullah al-Farawi, after that day, after that message from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would not get up from his place until Ibn Asakir would not get up. He would wait for the student to say that Hadrat, enough for today. Then only he would close his kitab. Because he was instructed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here also, Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sawluki rahimahullahu ta'ala was ill. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullahu ta'ala is seeing a dream that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to visit him. So Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullahu ta'ala says that I thought to myself it's a very good opportunity to go and see Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sawluki in the presence of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. He said, I also entered the house with this noble group. It's a dream. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ra'ani fil manami fa innahu ra'ani. When somebody sees me in his dream, then he has actually seen me. Fa inna shaitan la yatamathalu bi. Because shaitan cannot impersonate me. So we went inside, we sat down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sawluki, he is asking him about his health. And while sitting there, looking at Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sawluki rahimahullahu ta'ala's deteriorating health, the thought crossed my mind that what will happen to the ummah if this man was to leave the world? We all think this way. We have a sheikh. We have our teacher who we rely on. Some people are given acceptance on a local level, some on a national level, some on an international level, and people worry, what would happen if he was to go away? What would happen if he was to go away? So he said, I thought to myself that what will happen? What will happen, especially to the science of hadith, if Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sawluki rahimahullahu ta'ala was to depart? He said, this was going through my mind, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards me and he said, Ya Aba Nasr, O Abu Nasr, la tufakkir fi dhalik. Do not worry about that. La tufakkir fi dhalik. Don't worry about that. Why? Fa inna Allah la yudhayyi'u isabatan ana sayyiduha. Muhaddiseen are a group, the leader of whom is me. And the group, the leader of whom is me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let that group perish. I am the leader of that group. Allah will not let that group perish. This group will remain until the day of Qiyamah. And it is because of this that we see in a small place like Coventry, male, female, both students completing the Sahihul Bukhari. So it's a very, very auspicious occasion. It's a very great opportunity. And we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us this opportunity to be part of this gathering. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala is concluding his Sahihul Bukhari with the last chapter, last bab, Babun Qawlullahi وَنَذَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَن. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with ilm. And he concludes the book with wazn-e-amal. He begins the book with ilm. Babun kayfa kana bad'ul wahyi ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wahyi is ilm. So he begins the book with wahy, with ilm. And the first hadith he brings under the first chapter, Babun kayfa kana bad'ul wahyi ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa qawlullahi azza wa jal inna uhayna ilayka kama uhayna ila nuhi wa nabiyyina min ba'dihi. His hadith say, innamal amalu bin niyyat. So we can say that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with ilm and niyyah. And he concludes the book with wazn-e amal, the weighing of the amal on the day of qiyamah. What is the connection between the two? The connection between the two is that any amal begins with ilm and niyyah. Without ilm, without niyyah, amal cannot begin. So ilm and niyyah is mabda'ul amal. For example, the participation in this jalsa of Bukhari Sharif today. Those people who did not have the knowledge of this gathering today cannot even make intention of coming to the jalsa. So any amal will begin with ilm. Without ilm, a person cannot even make intention. There are virtues for reciting Suratul Mulk before going to sleep. So those people who don't know this virtue, who don't have the knowledge of this virtue, they cannot even make intention of reciting Suratul Mulk before going to sleep. So first comes ilm, and after ilm comes intention. And after intention, the amal, the practice will come into existence. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala initiates the book with ilm and intention. And ilm and intention are both mabda'ul amal. They come right at the beginning, ilm and niyyah. After ilm and niyyah comes the amal. So it came to our knowledge that a jalsa of Khatmul Bukhari Sharif is taking place after Zohar Salat in Masjid Zinatul Islam today. It came to our ilm first. Thereafter we make the niyyah that inshallah I will also participate. And ilm and niyyah then translates into action. So action will only come after ilm and niyyah. Without ilm, niyyah cannot come into existence. And without niyyah, amal cannot come into existence. So ilm and niyyah is mabda'ul amal. So a person acquires ilm first. After ilm, he makes intention. And after intention, the amal begins. So alhamdulillah, we all had ilm of this jalsa. As a result, we made intention. And the amal has started, and we have been here for approximately 2 hours now. And after amal comes retribution. After any amal comes retribution. After eating food, retribution. What benefit did you derive from this? Good or bad? So if a person eats healthy food, the retribution, the result is good health. If a person eats unhealthy food, the retribution or the result is bad health. So at the end of the jalsa will be retribution, which we will know on the day of Qiyamah whether we have acquired reward or as a result of some shortcoming either in our action or either in our niyyah, this deed will lead us to the fire of Jahannam. Only Allah will know. So the beginning of any amal is ilm and niyyah. Thereafter the amal. And at the end of the amal is the result. Result. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala initiates the book with mabda'ul amal, ilm and niyyah. And he concludes the book with muntahal amal, the results of the amal. Because on the day of Qiyamah, we will only know the results of our amal after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has weighed our amal. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala initiates the book with ilm and niyyah. Let us, my friends, try to acquire as much ilm as possible, because without ilm you will not be able to even make intention of carrying out good deeds. There is a very, very virtuous amal, and it's very simple as well, and it's easy for each and every person to carry out, but the person doesn't have the ilm of that amal. How will he make intention? How will he carry it out? So let us acquire as much ilm as possible, and thereafter let us make intentions to carry out the amal towards which the ilm is leading us to, directing us to. And let us carry it out with good intention, with sincerity, only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our ilm is correct and if our niyat is sincere, then the amal we will carry out, inshallah, will be very weighty in the scales on the day of Qiyamah. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with ilm, thereafter niyyah, which is mabdaul amal, and thereafter in two volumes, in approximately 7,000 ahadith, 7,397 ahadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions nothing but amal. Do this, don't do this. 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 So the beginning of amal is ilm and niyyah. And that ilm continues. And if we translate that ilm into amal, then on the day of Qiyamah, our amal will be weighed. And our amal will be weighed if our niyyah is sincere and if our amal is in accordance with the ilm that we have acquired. So the niyyah is correct and amal is correct. Then our amal will become very weighty. So Imam Bukhari begins the book with Mabdaul Amal and concludes the book with Muntahal Amal. Babun Qawlullahi wa Nadawul Mawazin al-Qist al-Yawm al-Qiyamah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is drawing our attention, the teacher and the students, that whatever you have learned during the year and whatever you will continue to learn from the Quran and the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they will only become weighty in your scale on the day of Qiyamah if you practice with sincerity. Babun Qawlullahi wa nadawu al-mawazin al-qist al-yawm al-qiyamah wa an'amala bani adama wa qawlahum yuzan. Thereafter, the hadith begins with Ahmad ibn Ashqab. Haddasana Ahmad ibn Ashqab. The very first hadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has transmitted to his students was from his teacher Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala is Makki, and Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala is Qurashi, Makki Qurashi. The last hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates from his Ustad Ahmad ibn Ashqab. Ahmad ibn Ashqab was born in Hadramaut, so he is Hadrami. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala takes the first hadith from his teacher, who is Makki, and Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates his last hadith from his teacher, who is Hadrami, who is Yemeni. Hadramaut is in Yemen, so he is Yemeni. And the Ansar of Medina Munawwara were all Yemenis. They are originally from Yemen and they migrated from Yemen into Medina Munawwara. So the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, who accepted Islam upon the hands of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam before the Jewish community could do, Aus and Khazraj, they were Yemeni. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, by taking the first hadith from his Makki teacher and taking the last hadith from his Yemeni teacher, Hadrami teacher, is indicating that the revelation began in Makkah Mukarrama and the revelation ended in Medina Munawwara, because the Yemenis migrated to Medina Munawwara. And Humaydi is derived from Hamd, And Ahmad is also derived from Hamd. Hamd means praise. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi is indicating that the contents of this whole Bukhari Sharif is nothing but Mahmud and praiseworthy from beginning until the end. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi is also indicating that those people who will study Bukhari Sharif from beginning till end with sincerity, and they will practice according to the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then such students and such personalities will become Mahmud, praiseworthy in this world and praiseworthy also in the hereafter. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is also indicating that a person's day should begin with hamd, and a person's day should end with hamd, and a person's every work should begin with hamd, end with hamd. A person's whole life should rotate around hamd, hamd, hamd. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If a person is able to do that, then inshallah a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah, and upon entry into Jannah he will say, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ahmad ibn Ashqab narrates this hadith from Muhammad ibn Fudail. Muhammad ibn Fudail from Umara ibn Qaqa. Umara ibn Qaqa from Abu Zura. Abu Zura from Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu is a muhajir. Muhajir sahabi. And the first hadith, hadith innamal amalu bin niyat, is narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu is also muhajir. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi initiates the book with a hadith of that sahabi who is a muhajir. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi concludes the book with a hadith of that sahabi who is muhajir. What is Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi indicating towards? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is indicating towards this fact that without hijrah acquiring ilm is not possible. For ilm, hijrah is necessary. And sometimes a person has to make hijrah from one country to another, sometimes from one town to another, and sometimes the least that a person should do is he should leave his home and go to the local madrasa. Without hijrah, ilm cannot be acquired. Harun Rashid, he was the caliph of his time. He came to Medina Munawwara and he sent a message to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. And he said to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he sent a messenger that I have come to Medina Munawwara and it is my desire to learn hadith from you. He had zeal for ilm, Harun Rashid, respect for ulama. It is my desire that I learn ilm from you. So can you please set a time for me and let me know so I will be ready to welcome you in my court. So there was no hijrah. He was expecting Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi to go to Harun to himself. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi in reply wrote a small note and he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Al-ilmu la yati. Ilm does not go to anyone. Yuta ilayhi, a person has to go to ilm himself. Al ilmu la yati yuta ilayhi. A person has to make hijrah. Without hijrah, a person cannot acquire ilm. And hijrah is of two types. One hijrah is that a person leaves his home. Hijrah means to leave something. So a person leaves his home. A person leaves the comfort of his home. A person leaves the comfort of his timetable. A person leaves. This is hijrah zahiri. And the second hijrah is wal muhajiru man hajara al khataya wa dhunub. That a person leaves unlawful activities. A person leaves disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by initiating the book with the riwayah of a sahabi who is muhajir and concluding the book with a riwayah from another sahabi who is muhajir, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala is drawing our attention to this fact that without hijrah zahira and without hijrah batina, without leaving your home, leaving the comforts of your home, and without leaving unlawful activities, without leaving sinful activities, it is not possible to acquire ilm. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu is afqahu sahaba, min afqahi sahaba. He is from amongst those sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmeen who were given a special insight into deen. He was a faqih. And Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu is min ahfazi sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him photographic memory, special memory. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi initiates the book by narrating a hadith from a sahabi radiyallahu anhu who was a great faqih, who had a very, very good understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or ability to understand the Quran and the hadith. And he concludes the book by narrating a hadith from a sahabi, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who was given a special quality as far as memorizing the ahadith or the text of the ahadith is concerned. So he begins the book with the quality of fiqh, and he concludes the book with the quality of hifz, memory. He is pointing out to the students that in order to acquire ilm and to benefit 100% from ilm, or benefit truly from ilm, a person needs fiqh and hifz. So a person should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fiqh and hifz. That, oh Allah, grant me fiqh. Allahumma faqihni fi ddeen. Oh Allah, grant me fiqh. Oh Allah, increase my memory. Increase my memory. Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he went to perform hajj, I cannot recall whether whilst drinking zamzam or on the multazam. Both places are accepted places. He made this dua that, oh Allah, grant me the hafidah, the hifz, and the memory of Allama Zahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And Allah accepted his prayer. Allah accepted his prayer. Some ulama have gone through the Fathul Bari of Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, in which he has brought various ahadiths from this place, that place, that place, that place, so many various ahadiths. And now we are living in the world of computers. So some people thought that I should check the ahadiths of Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, who wrote this book hundreds of years ago by using his memory only. So let me look at the ahadith in the computer and try to tally and see where he has made errors. They could hardly find any error. Maybe 4, 5, 10 places. He differs from what the computer is saying now regarding the ahadith. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us fiqh, the special insight towards the understanding of deen, and also hifz. These are two very, very important resources. We don't do this. Majority of the talaba don't ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should do those things which will make our memory powerful as well, and which will make our fiqh powerful as well. And the greatest tool in making our fiqh powerful and make our memory powerful is abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now we are concluding, kalimatane habibatane ilar rahman. Sometimes in the Arabic language, when a person says kalima, he means kalam. So here kalima means two words. The word to word translation will be, there are two words, kalima. But there are not two words, it's a whole sentence. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi is one sentence, and Subhanallah al-Azim is one sentence. We say kalimay tayyiba. But it's not kalima. It's kalam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul. It's full sentence. So here also, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said kalimatane, he means two sentences. Kalimatane. There are two sentences. And thereafter he brings the qualities of these two sentences. There are two sentences, Habibatane ila Rahman, which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. There are two sentences. Quality number one, they are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. Quality number two, khafifatane ala lisan. Very light on the tongue. So very easy to utter. Saqilatane fil mizan. Very heavy in the scale. And what are those two sentences? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi al-Azim. If they are light on the tongue, if they are light on the tongue, then we don't see any reason why all of us should not recite it. And especially if they are light on the tongue and heavy in the mizan on the day of Qiyamah, then all of us should recite it. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi al-Azim. Try to recite it as many times as possible when it is mentioned, so that our mizan may become heavy on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. Kalimatane, two sentences. Habibatane ila Rahman, they are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. And the indication is that these two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. So those people who attach themselves to these two sentences and they make regular recitation of these two sentences, they will also become mahbub of Rahman ta'ala. And what are these two sentences? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. My friends, my dear sisters, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah daily we will recite these two sentences at least 100 times. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. It will not take much time. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. There are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. As soon as a person hears this, that there are two sentences which Allah loves very much. If Allah loves something very much, then it must be difficult, because Allah loves tahajjud more than ishraq. Allah loves tahajjud more than duha. Allah loves tahajjud more than awwabin. Why? Because tahajjud is difficult. So it must be difficult. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam further encourages his ummatis and he says, no, they are both beloved to Rahman ta'ala, but not difficult. Khafifatane ala lisan, very light on the tongue. So the natural thought that enters the mind is that if something is very light on the tongue, that means it is very easy to do, and something which is easy will not be as much rewarding. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging the ummah now says, they are light on the tongue, easy to do, but saqilatana fil mizan, very heavy in the mizan, very heavy in the scale. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Two very small sentences. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Subhanallah. What is the meaning of subhanallah? Usabbihu Allah ta'ala anin naqaisi kulliha. The meaning of subhanallah, in English we say subhanallah, I glorify Allah. Subhanallah means أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا. I declare that Allah is pure from every fault. Tasbih. Tasbih means to purify Allah, to declare that Allah is pure from every fault. أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا. I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all faults. There are two ways of praising a father. For example, a person says that my father is not cruel. That means he is pure from the fault of being cured. And another person says my father is not cruel, he is very loving. There is a difference between the two. My father is not cruel, that means my father does not have this deficiency. But at the same time, he is not loving either. So he is free from fault, but he does not have the excellence of loving. And the other son says that my father is not cruel, so he is free from fault and he is very loving. That means he has this excellence also, this quality, this virtue. So when a person says Subhanallah, Subhanallah, this is half the work. Subhanallah, my Rabb is free from all faults. But what about the excellences? So he says, وَبِحَمْدِهِ أي وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِحَمْدِهِ وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِحَمْدِهِ And I praise him with his praise. وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِالْمَحَامِدِ كُلِّهَا So I declare that my Allah is pure from every fault, and I declare that my Allah is the embodiment of all excellences. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. I declare that Allah is pure from every fault. And Allah is the embodiment of every excellence to its highest peak. And only such being is worthy of worship. There is no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding whom we can declare that this being is pure from every fault and this being is the embodiment of every excellence. No, it is only Allah. So, أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِحَمْدِهِ There are three ihtimalat in the waw. It could be wawe haliya, and it could be wawe atifa, and it could be wawe istinafiya. I have taken the probability and the ihtimal of wawe istinafiya. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, usabbihu Allah anin naqaisi kulliha. And thereafter another statement, wa usni alayhi bihamdihi, ay wa usni alayhi bil mahamidi kulliha. And thereafter, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah, the meaning of Subhanallah is again the same thing. أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا الْعَظِيمُ عَلَىٰ حَسَبِ عَزَمَةِ شَأْنِهِ I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all faults according to His great status. عَلَىٰ حَسَبِ شَأْنِ عَزَمَتِهِ Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala is concluding his book with this hadith and with these words, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Because it is his desire to complete his book upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. This hadith is narrated in Bukhari Sharif in three places. And in the other two places, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. And here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. He has chosen this hadith specifically here, so that the book can end with the name of Allah. Allah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. What is the indication? The indication is, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. One whose last words are, La ilaha illallah, he will enter Jannah. And La ilaha illallah is not in its literal sense. It means one whose final words will be regarding the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will enter Jannah. Because if La ilaha illallah in the hadith was literal, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have passed away saying Allahumma bir rafiqil ala. So la ilaha illallah or anything that resembles la ilaha illallah. So Imam Bukhari has concluded the book reminding us that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that one who departs from this world with my name, he will enter Jannah. And by reminding us of this hadith, Imam Bukhari is drawing our attention that, oh dear students, if you practice whatever you have learned in this hadith, then just as the book is concluding upon the name of Allah, the book of your life will conclude on the name of Allah as well. On the day of Qiyamah, when your life will be opened, the last thing you will find in your book of deed will be the name of Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. And finally, Allama Qastalani rahimahullah ta'ala has said that in a hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man jalasa majlisan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one who sits in a gathering, Man jalasa majlisan. Our majalis, we get together, 5 friends, 10 friends, family get togethers. Very dangerous as far as the hereafter is concerned. Getting together with friends for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And making that majlis useful for the hereafter is a very good thing to do. No danger at all. Getting together with the family, meeting uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, alhamdulillah. Very rewarding act. Very rewarding act. But in this day and age, when we get together, we, majority of the time, 99% of the time, talk about those things which bring the displeasure of Allah. In this day and age, limit your presence in gatherings. In gapshap gatherings, in futile gatherings. Try to limit yourself in order to safeguard yourself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain, or keeping the Sahaba in mind, because the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain, when they would get together, they would not talk about major sins, minor sins, they would not backbite, they would not slander. No suspicious thoughts. But sometimes layani. Layani. Something that is not sinful, but neither beneficial in this world nor the hereafter. Or maybe something that may constitute a minor sin. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one who sits in a gathering, وَكَسُرَ فِيهِ لَغَتُهُ, and in that gathering, there is abundance of lagat. Lagat means talking about this and that. And whilst talking about this and that, layani will come and sometimes minor sin will also penetrate. فَقَالَ قَبْلَ أَن يَقُومَ مِن مَجْلِسِهِ. And then that person says, before getting up from that gathering, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ وَأَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in this hadith that whenever we sit in a gathering, any gathering, especially those gatherings that take place outside the masjid, then when we get up, what should we say? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We have limited this dua to the talim of fazail-e amal only. Which minor sin takes place when fazail-e amal is taking place? Which layani takes place when fazail-e amal is taking place? Maybe a little bit of disrespect here and there. Maybe not fully respecting the words that are being said. Alhamdulillah. After fazail-e amal also say this. But this dua is required more in our day-to-day gatherings outside. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that after a gathering, when a person gets up and recites this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all the minor sins that have taken place in that gathering. Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that today this majlis of Bukhari is ending. This majlis of Bukhari, which began approximately a year ago. Long majlis. The majlis began with Babun Kaifakana Badul Wahi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My very dear and respected colleague Maulana Muhammad Sahib Hafidhahullahu Ta'ala, he initiated this majlis, and this majlis continued until today. This is the final section of that long majlis. And now we are moving away from this majlis of Sahihul Bukhari. So Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi could not narrate that hadith which Imam Tirmizi rahmatullahi alayhi has narrated, because it is not according to his sharaid and conditions. So he has brought something similar to it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. So subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka is kaffaratul majlis. So the shorter version of that is subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this hadith right at the end, so it may become kaffaratul majlis for the teacher and also for the students. Because we are all humans, it's a very long period, 1 year, 1.5 year, and sometimes we feel tired, we feel lazy as well. Sometimes we may not have recited Durud-e-Pak as we should have. Sometimes we are unable to pay attention the way we need to. So inshallah this will become kaffaratul majlis. And my late Ustad of Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, upon the completion of Bukhari Sharif and after narrating this statement of Allama Qastalani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, would say that this is kaffaratul majlis for the students and for the teacher, because their majlis is ending. We have not taken part in these gatherings. But alhamdulillah, we are grateful to the madrasa, the academy, that it has given all of us the opportunity to become part of it during its last stages. Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and repent from all sins. Inshallah, this is a majlis full of barakah. Barakah of hadith. Talaba of ilm are sitting here. Inshallah, this hadith, the final hadith and the final gathering, will become a kaffara of our whole lives, inshallah. And inshallah, we will leave this gathering whilst forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the students who are graduating as ulama, and all our daughters who are graduating as alimat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to remain steadfast on the path of our akabir, on the path of our salafus salihin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us until we breathe our last to learn, to practice and to teach and safeguard his beautiful deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مسرف القلوب سرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين.
اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى اللهم إنا نسألك الرضاء بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن خدام دينك وأشاقك وأشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما یسر و سہولت کا عفو و عافیت کا فضل و عنایت کا حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما یا ارحم الراحمین ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما صراط مستقیم پر چلنے کی چلانے کی جمنے کی جمانے کی سب کو توفیق عطا فرما یا ارحم الراحمین مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین اپنی محبت عطا فرما الہ العالمین اپنا تعلق نصیب فرما الہ العالمین اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما الہ العالمین اپنے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا سچا عشق نصیب فرما الہ العالمین آپ کی اتباع کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین ظاہر کی اصلاح فرما باطن کی اصلاح فرما الہ العالمین فکر آخرت نصیب فرما الہ العالمین دنیا کی محبت سے محفوظ فرما الہ العالمین شیطان اور نفس کے مقائد سے حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین اے ارحم الراحمین ہماری زبانوں کو تیری یاد سے تر و تازہ فرما ہمارے دماغوں کو معطر فرما الہ العالمین الہ العالمین الہ العالمین ہمارے دلوں کو منور فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ مانگتا ہے الہی میں تجھ سے طلبگار تیرا تیرا ہو جاؤں اتنی آرزو ہے بس اتنی ہے تمنا دل بدل دے اے اللہ ہمارے دل کو بدل دے اے اللہ ہمارے دل کو بدل دے اے اللہ ہمارے دل کو بدل دے اے اللہ تو ہمارا ہو جا اے اللہ ہمیں اپنا بنا لے اے اللہ تو ہمارا ہو جا ہمیں اپنا بنا لے اے اللہ تو ہمارا ہو جا ہمیں اپنا بنا لے اے ارحم الراحمین دین کو سیکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین مدارس کی علماء کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین اس علم پر عمل کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین پورے عالم میں اس علم کو عام کرنے والا بنا دے الہ العالمین اخلاص سے آراستہ فرما فضائل سے آراستہ فرما خصائل سے آراستہ فرما اخلاق حمیدہ سے آراستہ فرما رضائل سے اخلاق رذیلہ سے ہمیں پاک صاف فرما ہماری حفاظت فرما اے ارحم الراحمین آج ان جن بچوں نے جن بچیوں نے الہ العالمین حدیث شریف شروع کی ہے حدیث شریف کا اختتام کیا ہے الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما لے الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما لے انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما لے مرتے دم تک الہ العالمین انہیں قرآن اور حدیث اور علوم نبوت سے وابستگی عطا فرما الہ العالمین ان کے اور ہمارے حافظے میں کمال پیدا فرما الہ العالمین ان کی اور ہماری فقاہت میں کمال پیدا فرما الہ العالمین ہم کو دین کے حصول کے لیے علم کے حصول کے لیے مرتے دم تک الہ العالمین مہاجر بننے کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین گناہوں سے بھی ہماری حفاظت فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے علوم میں برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین عمل میں برکت پیدا فرما خشیت میں برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین ہماری تعلیم میں تربیت میں تبلیغ میں برکت پیدا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین ہم کو علم و معرفت عطا فرما الہ العالمین ہمارے قلوب کو تیری معرفت سے منور فرما اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں اپنا بنا لے ہمیں اپنا بنا لے ہمیں اپنا بنا لے اے ارحم الراحمین مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین کوینٹری کی اکیڈمی کو بے انتہا برکتوں سے malamal farma. Ilah al-alamin, ilah al-alamin, ilah al-alamin. Kamyabi ke liye jin asbab ki zarurat hai, zahiri, batini, maddi, ruhani, sabka ghaib se intizam farma. Ilah al-alamin, hum sabko salaf-e-salihin ki tareeq pe chala de. Ilah al-alamin, academy ke jitne mansoobe hain, jitne kaamkaaj ho rahe hain, sabko qubool farma. Ilah al-alamin, is masjid ke jitne mansoobe hain, sabko qubool farma. Ilah al-alamin, is masjid ke aur academy ke ilah al-alamin jo mansoobe hain unke liye wasail muhayya farma. Ilah al-alamin aimma mein, asatida mein, ilah al-alamin karkunon mein, ikhlas mein tarakki ata farma, mohabbat mein tarakki ata farma. Ye arhamur rahimin lagan mein aur mehnat mein, jafa kashi mein aur tarakki ata farma, ulum mein, fuyuz mein aur barkatein ata farma. Ye arhamur rahimin sabko qubool farma, sabko qubool farma, sabko qubool farma. Jin jin bhaiyon ne behnon ne hame duaon ke liye kaha hai, likha hai, jo humse mutawakkil hain, jinka hum par haq banta hai, jo humse taluq rakhte hain, mohabbat rakhte hain, khususan hamare maa baap, asatida, mashayikh, dost ahbab, hazirin majlis, shurakai majlis, sabhi ke tamam jaiz nek maqasid ko pura farma. Ilah al-alamin pure alam mein deen ki jitni mehnatein ho rahi hain sab ko qubool farma. Ilah al-alamin hum sab ko haq se, ahle haq se, ahle haq ke kaamon se wabasta farma. Haq ko ahle حق کی اہل حق کی اہل حق کے کاموں کی حفاظت فرما. شرور فتن سے ہم سب کی ہمارے اداروں کی حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے ماں باپ ہمارے مشائخ ہمارے اساتذہ ہمارے محبین محسنین میں سے جو جو زندہ ہیں ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین اور ان کے ان سے ہم سب کو مستفید فرما الہ العالمین جو آخرت میں آ گئے ہیں الہ العالمین نے ہماری طرف سے جزائے خیر عطا فرما الہ العالمین جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے وہ بھی عطا فرما اللہم انا نسألک فی سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين.